Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Paul Rauschenbusch. My guest is Bishop Marion Budde. Her new book is titled, How We Learn to Be Brave, Decisive Moments in Life and Faith. I want to talk about another moment, which is not highlighted in the book, but it really struck me, was when you were called to speak at a Black Lives Matter rally, and the lights came on you, and you were like one of the big wigs and one of the real smart people who were supposed to hold forth and, you know, tell everybody what's what. And you kind of froze for a moment and didn't say anything. And then one of the protesters was like, sit down.
Shut up.
And instead of being outraged and instead of being like, you know, how dare you? You know, I'm a bishop. You went and sat down. And you sat down next to the person, and it's just one of those moments where you actually, I think that's brave. Because like the thing that you knew how to do is like, okay, let me get my act together. I'm going to talk about Jesus and da, 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 da. Instead, you just said, okay, I'm going to do that. And I think that that's another moment. It's a decisive moment you couldn't have prepared for. It was also, it involved humility, which we don't think of bravery and humility together. But often, I think sometimes that little voice is so annoying because sometimes, you know, you're laughing. You know, I mean, sometimes like I'll get in an argument with someone and it can be like a colleague. It can be, you know, another religious thing. It can be my family. It can be anybody. And they're saying, you've got to make it right. And I'm like, no, they got to make it right. They got to do that. That's not me. That's them. Every time that I listen to that voice, it's the right thing to do. And it's the hardest thing to do because it's me saying I have to do something. And it's basically humbling myself to make something right, even when I'm not sure that I was totally wrong. But I just think we think of these bravery often as like with the sword and the big thing. But it's often just those small moments. I mean, and you have them all throughout this book, which I'm going to say the name again. It's How We Learn to Be Brave, Decisive Moments in Life and Faith. Talk to me about those small moments where you have to follow that voice and it's not fabulous.
Right. Well, first of all, what you've described and that voice inside or that sensation, whatever that is, that is the invitation, I think. When we listen or we have a sense, and you said that you recognized it, right? You know that feeling. And if we can pay attention to that, I'm not saying it's always accurate because we're human, right? But the idea of listening deeply to that summons is one of the threads that carries through the book, because it does take us in different directions, depending on what the circumstance requires of us in that moment. And in your case, what you were describing was an invitation to take the first step, perhaps towards reconciliation, or to do what you can, in your words, to make it right. And that's a step into courage, because you don't know how the other person is going to respond. In that moment that you were describing on Black Lives Matter Plaza, you know, it was clear to me that the cameras and the microphones wanted those of us gathered, the faith leaders to gather, to talk to the cameras and the microphones. And all the cameras and microphones had displaced people who had been sitting in the hot sun all day with their public witness. And when I realized that's what the moment was, and it didn't feel right to me anyway, but when this young man said, sit down and shut up, I thought, darn it, he's right. He's right. And then when I sat down and I wrote what he said, which is, we've been out here in the sun all day and you show up and the cameras show up. And when you leave, they're going to leave and we'll still be here. And so who was the courageous one in that moment? It wasn't, do you know, I mean, whose witness was the most important?
He was brave to just say what was true for him, you know, and not like just like say, okay, this is another moment where we get to be disrespected and not say what we really feel. And then you, like, it's a telling story. I wish more like religious leaders heard that story because, you know, we have a tendency to be like, yeah, put me in the pulpit, let me go. And I think that was just really that was really powerful. So tell me, is there a difference between being brave and courageous, or is that just semantics? I'm happy for you to tell me there's no difference. But if you think there is one.
Yeah, for me, the words are interchangeable. I think there is a slight semantic difference, but not one that operationally for me makes a lot of difference.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I find them as synonyms, and perhaps brave in some ways connotes those, you know, big dramatic moments, and courage has more of that inner quality. But I like the idea of using brave for those inner moments, because as with what you're describing and what I've experienced, and I think others do too in this long arc of a life, is that listening and taking that step in some ways is a crisis moment. And we know it because we have to make a choice, and we have to decide sometimes quickly and sometimes over a long period of time, like choosing again and again and again to stay on a certain path. And each time there's the option of not doing it, or the option of saying no. And we say no too, right? So, but just to learn how to take that step and acknowledge it for what it is, even if there aren't a lot of microphones in your face asking you to pontificate on it as it's happening.
Right, right. Talk to me about the referencing of the kind of the Christian text throughout the book. There's a lot of, like, I don't know if it was Frederick Buechner who said, like, listen to your life, or there's listening to your life, but then there's also like looking for inspiration in the tradition. Give me one example from one of your favorite stories that is really instructive in the kind of nuanced, not easy understanding of bravery, but really that resonates with you.
Wow. Thank you. Yes, I feel like it's, as a person of faith, it's part of our regular practice, but I think we all do it on some level in reference to something, which is looking for the places where we can take our experience seriously enough to go deeper in it. And so when we are inspired by the examples or the stories of others, we are emboldened to live more intentionally on the path that's been entrusted to us. And I believe sacred scripture does that for us for all the time. And that in some ways, the Spirit of God works through the text to keep us animated, to say, you're not alone in this, and look at this as a pattern or a possibility. One of my favorites, I have many, is when Jesus decides to turn his face toward Jerusalem. You can almost miss it in the gospel text, because it's like a line that's buried in the middle of a sentence, in the middle of a chapter. And there's not that much difference in how the story goes from before he decides to do it and afterwards. But everything about the story of his life at that point, and this is in the Gospel of Luke, shifts from Jesus walking from his home base of the Galilee region down south toward Jerusalem. And along the way, he does pretty much what he's been doing all along. He heals people, he teaches people, he's, you know, mentoring his disciples and getting them ready. But his focus is on Jerusalem, and he knows what's waiting there. Others don't know, don't want to know, but he knows. And for me, I use that example to begin the chapter called Just Choosing to Start. When we set ourselves on a course in life, or we see a destination in our mind's eye and we start walking toward it. And in the beginning, nobody's paying much attention because, frankly, it's a long way off. And even if we talk about it, it's like, great, you know, go for it. And we just start making those choices. But the goal, the destiny is in our minds. And so his example and what happens to him along the way and how he gets closer. And those are some of the ways. It's one of the ways.
Let me ask you this. What's the primary piece of advice that you would give people who are like, okay, I read your book, I'm just trying to figure out how to use this in my life. What would you say to them?
Wow. Be honest, I'm not sure what I would say, except to encourage them to pay attention to what is stirring within them. It would depend a lot on if this were a person dealing with personal issues or public ones, but to make sure that as they strive to live a courageous life, to see whatever moment they're kind of looking at or focusing their energies on, to take the wider lens of life. Because there are the moments when we feel that we're being called upon to do whatever it is we do. But extending the lens wider, there's a lot that leads up to moments like that, some of which we're aware of and some of which we're not. There are seasons of preparation, and we may not even know what we're being prepared for. And even more importantly, there are all the moments that follow, most of which are either a bit of a letdown or just life without drama. And we have to keep in mind whatever insights we were given or whatever feeling we had when things were clear, and try to live as if those moments were in fact real. And so it's a lot about perseverance. And maybe that would be the final word, is that this is a life not of leaping from big moment to big moment, but life in all of its fullness, and paying attention, honoring the moments as they come to us, and living the life that is ours to live.
Thank you so much for that. I can't let you go before I say how much we enjoyed being at the cathedral on Easter. It was beautiful. It was moving. And my 8-year-old son referenced your sermon in a conversation later, which is big praise. You know, when you actually have an 8-year-old who heard the sermon and asks a question about it, and then we're having a conversation, and that's the definition of a good church visit. So thank you so much for that great day, and for this incredible new book, How We Learn to Be Brave, Decisive Moments in Life and Faith. The Right Reverend Marian Edgar Buddy is the Episcopal Bishop of Washington, D.C. She was previously a parish priest for 18 years and spent time in public activism for social justice. Her new book, How We Learn to Be Brave, Decisive Moments in Life and Faith, it was published this week. Pick it up, learn, enjoy. Bishop Buddy, thank you so much for being with us again on State of Belief Radio. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you, Paul. It was a delight for me to see you and to talk with you again.
Coming up next, the new Senior Director of Advocacy and Policy at Interfaith Alliance, Darcy Hirsch. If you miss any part of today's program, you can hear full episodes of State of Belief anytime on our website. You'll also find links to the topics we discussed this week, extended interviews and transcripts, and an archive of past shows, all at stateofbelief.com. You're listening to State of Belief Radio, where religion and democracy meet.